Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Atlanta! We finally finished a game! It's Tukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man! It is Friday, hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home 2020, which means we're throwing something either on the grill, on the stove, as we do each and every week, and we certainly want to see your picks, as Dino has already hit us up and said, fellas, I'm going to a Halloween party tomorrow.
Nice.
So I had to put this brisket on. He tweeted at Mike Bell ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. And, of course, follow this radio station at 929 The Game across all social media platforms. So we expect to see your pictures between now and, as we say, next week. Guys, hit us up all weekend. Mike Bell, what's going on today, brother?
Hey, man, fun day today. Yard work, Carl, picking up tree limbs and all sorts of stuff. Got to keep up with the rest of the neighbors, man. You know, you don't want to have, like, your place looking not spick and span. So, I haven't done yard work since I was 17, since I was an indentured servant to my dad, you know, cheap labor. But, yeah, man, basking in the warm afterglow of a win. But as we said, it's such a strange territory to be in, because do you want to win? I mean, we all want to win, but when you win, not knowing where this whole season's going to take us. But Carl, hey, you're right. We finished a game. What did it take? A busted first-round draft pick, nearly crippling a quarterback for us to get a win, but I'll take it.
Well, that's the thing, and if you don't know what we're talking about, Falcon Charles Harris gets ejected last night for what was considered, I don't think it was dirty. I do think it was late, but I don't think it was dirty. And, you know, Charles Harris gets ejected for hitting Teddy Bridgewater. Obviously, Bridgewater after that play was not the same, guys. And he throws the pick to end the game to Bleedy Ray Wilson, and we went 25-17. You're right, Mike. I've said this. You know, I don't care how we win, who does it. I don't care, you know, who makes the play. At the end of the day, I just want a W on the board. And I know some people, again, want to see these guys just roll over like dogs and tank. But it just doesn't happen that way in the NFL.
Right.
So, you know, what did we learn last night? And we'll break this down today, as it is a Falcon Friday, actually, coming off of a Thursday night game brought to you by our friends at Xfinity. But we'll break it down for you guys. And there is something to be learned from last night. And what does it mean? Because, like you said, Mike, so many people are saying, oh, don't score. Oh, don't do that. I don't understand how you could want your team to win but want your team to lose at the same time. It's a complicated thing, isn't it?
Well, that's just it. That's why I talked about it today. I put a picture up of Jeff Bridges as the Big Lebowski when he's trying to figure out why he has his kids do term paper in his car after it was stolen. I said, like, I'm glad the Falcons won. I said, but as a fan, it's 8 more games of, like, a twilight zone. Is this win hurting us? Are we missing out on a better pick? What is the new regime's philosophy going to be? You know what I mean? So these are all the questions. So, yes, I mean, like, it's counterintuitive as an American sports fan to not want your team to win.
And
players play to win because, as we said, these guys, if they're not going to be Falcons, these guys are looking to get other jobs. I want to see more of the younger guys getting a chance to play. You know, and I thought, I mean, I was freaking out about Ridley. We'll talk more about Calvin Ridley and that ankle, which had everybody freaking out. But, I mean, by the way, this should make you angry as a fan. And this is why, like, I'm not going to stop being a Falcon fan, but I'm pissed off at these guys and Dan Quinn, Dimitroff, and et al. Because you're putting the fans in this really ridiculous place in a major American city to kind of be like, when it comes to your football team, you know, with half the season left on the calendar.
Well, I am pissed, and you should be too. Because last night, you look at that game and you go, why can't we finish the Cowboy game? What happened with the Bears? What happened with the Lions? We know what happened, but why? And you're right, Mike. That's what upset you. Last night, for the first time, we, as a defense, the Falcons, were able to do something in the last 2 minutes of a football game. We had given up 54 points at the end of halves in games this season. Worst in the NFL. And so when we say, oh, well, you know, it ain't over, it's not over. Not the way that this team has played. So even with the lead last night, you guys know it. You were watching that. I was waiting for all the doom and gloom. I didn't tweet after halftime because I knew it was going to happen. Didn't know how the game was going to play out, but I knew there was going to be, oh, hell, 2 minutes left. They got the ball. Bridgewater's driving. Right. You just felt like it was going to be another fail. And for the first time in a very long time, it wasn't, Mike. And so congratulations. But can you do it again?
Yeah, I mean, this is, as we said, our lot in life for the third consecutive season. So let's hope that we break this chain, you know, and we finally, you know, can bust through. Last night, and it was funny, I was talking to you, I was talking to other guys on Twitter. It's everything that makes you love and hate the Falcons. You have an amazing drive. Matt Ryan, and nobody can cut through a zone defense like Julio Jones and Matt Ryan from the 20-yard line to the 20-yard line. And now it's time to score a touchdown. And then you bog down. And then the run game, I mean, the run game was ineffective. I mean, that's what killed that one of those drives. But it just, it, if there's one beef, and this is why, guys, I'm not saying Julio and Matt are busters. I'm not one of those idiots. I'm just saying when you are the stars of the team, the elites, you got to punch through and get six on those drives. Because we know these guys are capable of putting together some big numbers. But the biggest number that matters, other than the W, is the TD. And that's my beef. But that was some of the things you saw last night. And then, Carl, some really inexcusable dumb penalties, including, obviously, the one that really hurt Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, yes. You had guys hitting guys out of bounds, guys hitting the quarterback late. At times, okay, it looked like an undisciplined football team. But it's been one of my biggest beefs when it was DQ, and it's been one of my beefs now. We are not a disciplined football team, and at times it shows, and it gets you in trouble. Those penalties, yeah, they happen time to time, but it shouldn't happen as many times as it did last night in a game, in a single game. And so, yeah, you wonder about those things, but can you fix those things? Yes, those are coachable things. The Falcons last night, guys, 400 yards, two touchdowns. You know, the big thing was they limited the Panthers, and for all the bad things that this defense does, and they do a lot, 2 for 10 last night on third downs for the Panthers. That's the game. Mm-hmm. In the games we've lost, we've been terrible on third down, either converting or stopping opponents. And this is simple math. I mean, this is football, right? Get a stop on third down, get off the field. It's easy. And last night we did actually a lot more than I even thought, Mike, when I looked at the numbers, 2 for 10 on third down. So, you know, that's a season low in net passing yardage for them, where in the previous game they chopped us up. Teddy Bridgewater looked like a superstar. So they did a lot of good things last night. Grady Jarrett was unblockable. But at times, Mike, I got to be honest, I'm watching Keanu Neal and I'm going, oh, okay, that shouldn't be happening to a veteran safety in your position. I mean, he's getting juked out of his feet. He's not willing to put a hat on guys at times. And then, you know, there were other times where I'm seeing, okay, who's this getting to the quarterback? Oh, it's Foye Luikin. Luikin had big spots last night. So there were a lot of positives, but also a lot of negatives, but I'll take the W.
Right, and Isaiah Oliver, they dialed up a blitz. I mean, look, figure things. He's not very good at covering people, so let's have him go hit people. You know, so Isaiah Oliver, they dialed up a corner blitz. You took the words right out of my mouth with Keanu. I was saying, wow, Keanu is really hurting himself next year. I mean, he might be a guy who's going to be on small deals with other teams the rest of his career. You know what I'm saying? Unless somebody overpays. I mean, we love what this guy has represented. Unfortunately, now he's kind of become that Sean Weatherspoon type, where you just don't know how healthy he's going to be. And now, last night, you said it; those are plays that just can't happen for a guy who's considered a really super athletic safety.
I just think he doesn't. He hasn't played like a stud safety in this league consistently this year. There have been moments. You know, Rico last night got beat on a play that he shouldn't get beat on. I mean, it was a great throw by Teddy Bridgewater on the trickery, but that's a throw that, you know, he shouldn't get beat on. So with all of that said, right, I mean, there's a lot going on here, and we're still all evaluating these players, and we're all looking at them and seeing who we want to keep, who we want to move on from. But, you know, Keanu Neal, to take him when Dan Quinn did, and again, he's been affected by injuries, but this is supposed to be your dominant safety for the next, you know, decade. And that really hasn't played out that way. He was a dominant safety for 2 years, and then he's been hurt. So now this is supposed to be that year where you come back and you show everybody, I've lost nothing, but he has. And so, Mike, there are some decisions that we have to, you know, have to be made as we move forward. But overall, guys, what were your thoughts last night? 404-741-0929. It is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Matt runs for a touchdown, and Mike mentioned the Calvin Ridley injury, which, you know, again, that's the last guy. He's playing so well. It's the last guy I want to see get injured, Mike.
You know, and that's another thing. You know, it's not his fault. It was just it was a routine play. But, I mean, this is something that, you know, what was Julio's first couple of years with the Falcons? Tremendous brilliance and also some worries and concerns about ankle and foot injuries. So, right. I, and again, I'm not trying to, you know, make it sound like now Ridley's going to be a damaged goods. But, I mean, he's had 2 years where he was a surefire lock for a 1,000-yard season that have been jacked up by injuries.
Gurley last night, we said, would there be a large dose of Gurley? Not really. 46 yards. He did get 18 attempts, which are more than what I thought. But, you know.
Were you blown away by the stat last night they had that Troy Aikman mentioned? He's like second in the league, tied for second in touches.
Touchdowns. Or touches total for running
backs. He was leading the league in touchdowns. So, I mean, and one guy just hit me up on Twitter. He said, why did we see Brian Hill, who's actually running the ball pretty well? Brian Hill's beef is he doesn't pass protect well. Again, credit to Troy Aikman. I know some guys don't like Aikman. He really had his homework on the Falcons. He basically had everything nailed, you know, about this team. But, you know, to me, when you see Brian Hill getting reps out there, that's part of the management of Todd Gurley.
That's exactly right.
That's all it is. But even, I mean, to be tied for like the second most carries and to be leading the league in touchdowns, who would have thought that of Todd Gurley other than guys who deny the fact that he had that arthritic knee? He's been as productive as we ever could have imagined, but the rest of the team has let him down, unfortunately. And he let us down by falling in the end zone last week.
That's true. It is Dukes and Bell. That's the thing. When we worried about how many touches he would get, and we said at the time, I think we said, you know, between, 17 and 25. And that doesn't have to all be, you know, handoffs, which obviously it's not. But he's getting that. For everybody who said he couldn't tote the rock and he won't be able to run the ball, he's doing everything that we thought he wasn't going to be able to do. So, Mike, you know, we talked about contracts yesterday. And I said, is Gurley going to ask for another, you know, year, $6 million? Year? He won't. He's going to look for another long-term deal because that's where the money's at. But with the way the season is going, he may just get it.
This guy has been great. I mean, I'd love to keep him if we could get a workhorse back or alongside. I mean, I think some people like Brian Hill. I would love, and I was kind of hoping they were going to draft a running back at some point. Now, I'm excited about our young linebackers and safeties. We're going to see more of these guys. But if you could keep Gurley for another year or two, I don't know what is because of the knee concerns. Is someone going to give him a multi-year deal around the league? I'm saying if we could get him back, but then get a real complimentary piece, the way you've seen other teams kind of have like a 1-2 punch.
It's going to be interesting. And again, those decisions will play out. But right now, Gurley's doing everything he can to help us win and has, guys. This wasn't a last night anomaly. He's been playing well. You know, and again, I can't blame him last week just because, as I've said, your entire life, from the first time you touch a ball and, you're running the ball, there's a coach saying, go to the end zone. And now all of a sudden, I know Matt says, don't score, but the safety lets you go. And you're like, ah! It just is what it is. We didn't do last week what we did last night, Mike, and that was get a stop in the last 2 minutes of a football game.
And you also beat, I mean, I'm not saying inferior opponent, but that's what we should have done to those guys a few weeks ago. You know, Matt did not have a great game. Obviously, Julio was not in the mix, but there's other good receivers on this squad. But that's one of those games where you say Matt needed to rise up a few weeks ago. Pardon the pun. But we're a better team
rise
than these guys. We're a better team than these guys. We are. You know, rise up. Rise up. I don't know. Rise up. Tank for Trevor. We'll talk about Trevor Lawrence's situation coming up a little bit later. But, yeah, man, everybody's got their plan. Some guys want to tank. People are mad they're winning. Other guys are like, we can finish. We can win every single game. And we can go 10-6. And then a unicorn is going to fly out of my butt. But, hey, we'll see. We do have some easy winnable games in the schedule.
They could go on a run.
We said this 2 weeks ago, just had them pull the rug out from under our feet against Alliance.
That's right. Vikings, they could go on a run, and then Lions. Consistency is the key. It is Dukes and Bell. We're going to talk more about it coming up. Our man Charles Barkley with the Red Mont Zone. We'll get into a bunch of things with Charles, including we'll ask him about Trevor Lawrence next. Dukes and Bell on a Friday. We're going to talk to Charles Barkley, and I think he was calling us, and mix up of numbers and whatnot. So we'll get him on here in just a sec. We'll get Chuck on and talk to him. We're talking about the Falcons as well. Mike, I just want you to – a guy asked me this question. Dino said, Dukes, do you think that Raheem Morris could get this job? I think he's just auditioning for a coordinator's job moving, you know, forward. And my thing is – let's be honest. Dude should be 3-0. He should be 3-0 since taking this team over. He's not. He's 2-1. But, Mike, I still think there is a chance Raheem Morris could get this job, depending on how this thing finishes out.
Yeah, AB was up there. Arthur Blank was on the sidelines, laid up in Charlotte. So, yeah, he's watching. I mean, Arthur is watching. So we'll see. I mean, there would be some names that would probably be a little more energizing for the fan base. But if you put this team in the playoffs after being dead in the water, then I think you'd get the job. I mean, but you got to win out now. There's no margin for error. I mean, maybe Carl, if you feel 9-7 could get you into that expanded playoff spot. Remember, there's one extra spot in each conference. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, let me ask you this. And if you went 9-7, put you in the playoffs, made me win, maybe lose, is that a guy you want to have the job back? But I would like to see Dirk Cutter maybe move next year. I think when he has total autonomy to really make even more moves. He moved on from a bad special teams coach we all knew was in over his head. But maybe even more moves, potentially. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm still getting, again, there's still more football to be played. I'm still getting my head around it. But yeah, I thought he made a boneheaded play in Detroit, in the Detroit game. It is what it is. You know, if we're 3-0, we're feeling completely different about Raheem Morris. I'm like this, arms crossed going, wait and see.
Yeah, I think if you win, you deserve a shot. I'm going to leave it there. I think if Raheem wins, he deserves a shot to be the head coach. Let's grab our man Charles Barkley as we do on Fridays, guys. It's the Redmont Zone with Charles Barkley, and make sure you check out the vodka and the gin. It is delicious. Chuck, man, I want to start with football because today's news has to do with Trevor Lawrence. He tests positive. He's going to miss the Clemson game, and I want to ask you, because part of the discussion over the last week or so has been Trevor saying, I'm not sure if I'm going to come back to school or not, or whether I'm going to the NFL. Right now, the Jets would have the first overall pick. Would you go to the Jets, or would you stay in school?
I'd go to the Jets for a couple of reasons. Number one, he's going to be the number one pick in the draft. They got a bunch of draft picks coming, and if he can win in New York, that's probably going to be worth an extra $10 to $20 million a year in advertising for his brand. I mean, so, you know, they got a bunch of picks. They are obviously going to get a new coach. He's probably going to have a voice in who the new coach is going to be.
Right.
But he's coming back. I love the kid for not talking like that, because the last thing you want to do is answer that question every week, because everybody knows that he's the number one pick. You can't not be the number one pick. But listen, man, the Jets haven't always been inept right now, obviously. But number one, I just hope the kid gets better. And hey, listen, I think he's going to be great in New York.
Because, you know, Eli Manning, his dad said, look, the Chargers are a bad organization. They made things happen. The famous one, of course, is John Elway. And that was a great decision because the Baltimore Colts were a hot mess. When you were coming out of the draft, did you have any preference or you could care less?
I didn't care less. It's a privilege to play pro sports. It's a privilege and an honor. And I didn't agree with Eli, and I didn't agree with John. And obviously it worked out great for them. But we can't have players coming out of college saying what they don't want to play, because every player, especially think about the NBA, every guy want to play in a big city.
Right.
But that wouldn't be fair to the small market teams. Listen, it's an honor to play in any pro sports. And hey, how about going somewhere and turning the thing around yourself? I think that's more admirable than joining a winning franchise.
Yeah, I look at, you know, like in Portland, the situation with Dame out there. I totally agree. He wants to stay, and he's trying to win a championship out there. Let me ask you about trades, though. When you were in Philly and you wanted out, was that you? And did you force that? Because it's always been a players' league.
No, I never forced myself. I don't think that's you know, the thing that was frustrating for me in Philly, I went through 2 years of rumor. Yeah, so that was tough on me and my family. That was really tough. But, you know, this thing now where these players feel like, hey, if I don't win the championship in the first 6 or 7 years, I'm gone. And I said to myself, well, a good thing Michael Jordan didn't think like that. He didn't win the championship his 8th year in the league. He fought through those Pistons and he got better. Mm-hmm. I see him saying, I'm going to join the Celtics or the Lakers. He's like, no. I want to start something here in Chicago, and the rest is history. And I hope that's what happened with Giannis. Yeah, you know, Giannis can be a free agent next summer, and he can go somewhere and win a championship, but it won't be the same as winning it in Milwaukee. If he wins it in Milwaukee, he'll be like Dirk Nowitzki. Like, no, we're going to win one in Dallas. That's my goal, and he got it done.
Can he win with Coach Bud, though? That's the question. It's our man Charles Barkley, guys, brought to you by Redmont Vodka. And the gin is fantastic as well, guys. It's great stuff. And it's all brewed, right, and distilled, I should say, over on State Line, over in Alabama. Charles joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline.
I got to tell y'all something, though. I did something crazy last night.
You bet on the Falcons.
You too.
You bet
tell
on the Falcons.
You bet on us.
You know, I took the Falcons last night. No, I was looking at that line, and I was saying, The Panthers at home, they got a better record. Why are they only favored by 1.5?
Mm.
You know, they always say home field is worth at least, well, there's no home field now, but, you know, the Panthers have a better record. You say they should be at least a 3-point favorite. So that make up for last week when that complete choke job. I took the Falcons last week, too. Mm-hmm. Let me be honest on y'all air. And let me tell you something. That was... let me ask you guys an honest question. I know y'all going to be honest, and I haven't listened to the show because I'm out here in the desert. What would be more embarrassing as a team that, well, your offense don't have confidence in your defense? They're saying, let's don't score because our defense can't stop a team with a minute and 30 seconds to go from going down getting a touchdown. What is more embarrassing, a team not trying to score or a team saying, no, let them score because we know we can score on this defense? Which one you think is more embarrassing?
It's more embarrassing.
It's kind of a push.
No, if you let a team, like the Lions last week, what Charles is saying is literally like, the defense is so bad, we're going to let them score because we know right. We'll get points. That's more embarrassing than the opposite, man. I think, you know what, that becomes your identity around the league. Like last night, Charles, I know you bet the Falcons. But at the end of the game, here we were again, 1:04 left, and they're driving the field, and you're thinking they're about to blow it.
Yeah, I was nervous. I'm like, they can't lose again. But listen, that thing last week, as a player, I'd call a team meeting. I said, guys, these guys got zero respect for our defense. They're saying, let the team score because they know they can score on our defense. I like, as a player, you got to have some type of pride. I said, no, man, these teams got zero respect for us. They're saying, no. Let the Falcons score because we know we can score on their defense. That's embarrassing.
It is. A friend of mine hit me up last night real quick and did the same thing, Charles, and he said, you think I should bet the Falcons? I said, yes. He said, I can't do it. And he sent me the crying emoji. He said, I can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, Charles, we don't play at your level, but Carl and I had about $18,000 we were going to win on that Super Bowl that they blew.
Oh, my goodness. I'll never get over that.
Damn you,
know, Hey, listen. I told you, the only thing worse was that debacle down in Dallas like a month ago. I'm like, are you serious? This can't happen again. But listen, you know, I heard you guys talking a little bit before I came on. I'm really glad Raheem got a second chance. And if they can finish 8-8, that's amazing. And he deserves a job if he can get them to 8-8.
I kind of feel the same way. You start 0-5, right? All this turmoil. And Mike and I were just talking about it. It's Charles Barkley's joining us, guys, as he does on Fridays. It's the Redmond Zone with Charles. And you know, you should be 3-0. Last week, you should have won. So now you're 2-1, and you're right. If you run a string of games off together like that, and you're able to put us in the win column, I agree. He should have a shot at the job. Let me ask you this, Charles. It's, as we talk about what's going on in sports, by the way, Tua is getting his first start this weekend with the Dolphins, and I thought he was the best quarterback in this draft, and then Mike and I were like, well, we don't know what the deal is with the hip. What are your thoughts on Tua, man?
Well, to me, that's a tough one. Fitzpatrick was playing so good. He was playing so good. I would have waited personally because, you know, as a coach, your job is to give your team the best chance of winning. The Dolphins had won 2 games in a row. Fitzpatrick, if you look at his stats, he's in the top 5 in every statistical category. I would have waited till this team starts sucking personally before I bought in Tua. Because, you know, Fitzpatrick track record, he's going to be really, really good and he's going to be really, really bad. But, you know, and first of all, if you don't like watching Aaron Donald play football, you're not a football fan.
Right.
If you don't like watching that man play, you're just not a football fan. You're just gambling. But to watch I'm not sure I would put him out there against Aaron Donald the first game. I just think that's because the Rams got, man, their defense. I watched them Monday night. They were scary Monday night. And to put a rookie in that situation who, number one, we all know the biggest question with Tua is how he's going to react when he gets hit the first time. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure putting him out there against Aaron Donald is the best idea.
That's just it, because that's one hell of an NFL baptism. You're darn right. Hey, by the way, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens against the Steelers. You got any vibe on that one this weekend?
I'm probably going to go with the Ravens because, you know, the Steelers, they used a lot of energy last week against Tennessee. And, you know, Tennessee almost came back and won that game. I had the Steelers last week. I will admit that. I had the Steelers, so they came through for me big. But I don't know if they can go on the road 2 weeks in a row and beat two really good teams. Because that Tennessee game, that took a lot out of them. So I'm probably going to go with the Ravens.
Charles Barkley in the Redmont zone. We got about a minute left. I want to ask you about Auburn. War Eagle, they're taking on LSU Saturday. But let me ask you about Gus Malzahn. I mean, why hasn't Auburn been able to find the next Cam Newton? What is the deal there? Because in my opinion, Bo Nix has regressed, Chuck.
Yeah.
Well, I think two things. I think, number one, I think Bo Nix has regressed. But secondly, when you run that type of offense, you need a quarterback who's really a scrambler. I mean, and they haven't found that guy. You know, Cam, the reason Cam was great, he can throw it and he can run it. So when you run a particular system, you need a quarterback who can run that particular system. And Bo Nix, I don't know a lot about him. I'm not going to lie. I watch every Auburn game. But he don't look like he's a guy who can run a pass offense and be a scrambler. That's what – go back. Even Nick Marshall, the guy we got from Georgia. Like, Gus' offense is dictated by can you throw it and can the quarterback scramble. And they just haven't found that quarterback, plain and simple. And this is a must-win for us this weekend because it could really get out of hand if we lose this game. You know, and they're playing a freshman, too. I watched him Saturday night. So this, to me, will say a lot about Auburn. If you can't beat a freshman his first road game, this is a must-win for Auburn.
Because you find yourself in that same situation where now all the talk about Gus, and then, you know, it seems like he does just enough to get another contract, and then you find yourself in this situation again.
Well, listen. This is why I think this is a must-win game. Mm-hmm. You know, because listen, let's be honest, Auburn could have two more losses. We've gotten some great officiating in the two games that got us wins. Listen, we like to use our relatives to officiate the game. There's nothing wrong with that. They give us a good deal. Stop it.
Man, we appreciate you as always. Be safe out there, and we'll talk to you next week. Make sure you check out the Vodka and the Gin, man. Redmont Zone with Charles Barkley. Redmont, by the way, is the Vodka and Gin.
I'll see you guys next week. Thank you.
Thanks, Charles.
Thank you, Charles.
Appreciate
you. That's right, man. Good dude. And again, guys, it's at Redmont Beeham. If you want to follow on Twitter, Vulcan Gin is what I've matter of fact, I'm about to go get myself one right now in a commercial break.
It's really good. It really is. All right, we're coming back. Falcons beat the Panthers 25-17. There was a controversial play last night. People talking about it. Was it dirty? And what's the latest on the ankle injury to Calvin Ridley? Coming up, NFL Blitz. We'll get you caught up on what's going on around the NFL. Also, as Mike mentioned, Trevor Lawrence test positive and what it means for Clemson moving forward because they have a big matchup, not this week. I mean, it's Boston College. I'm not taking them lightly, but Notre Dame's up next, and everybody thinks that is the game, Mike, that hopefully he'll be back for. But we'll get into that. Thanks to Charles Barkley, guys. Make sure you try the gin or vodka Redmont. Vodka or gin. As we get into the Redmont Zone every week with Charles on Fridays. Mike, first thing is this win last night by the Falcons, 25-17, the controversial play. Did you think it was dirty, the hit by Charles Harris?
Yeah. I mean, maybe not 20 years ago, but by today's NFL standards, I was thinking, well, that might be an ejection. And that's exactly what it was. I mean, first off, I mean, like if a guy like Teddy Bridgewater has been cleared to play football and he's getting paid to do it, and he is getting a nice contract, you know, from Carolina, you know, you can't say, well, you know, that guy, you know, he nearly lost a knee. You know, he's out there to play some football. But I mean, there's a bit, it's also a bit of a sympathetic feeling because you don't want to see Bridgewater getting, like, you know, his neck busted, you know. But my first reaction was like, it's just a stupid, dirty play from a guy who I don't even know. You know, here's a first round buster. And again, this is Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn's house of busted first round picks. And this is the first time we're actually talking about this guy. You know, so I mean, like, I'm not saying kick him off the team. It's just a dumb, dangerous play because when you got a guy when a guy's vulnerable like that, and I'm not saying put a skirt on the quarterback. This was just a very stupid play and dangerous.
So officials are always going to protect the quarterback. If that's Matt Ryan, you'd be losing your head.
Okay. But no, Falcon fans will say we never get that call, and I agree. Maybe because Matt's 6'4". I've never understood how Matt gets no respect from the refs on plays like that.
Well, my issue last night was, first of all, Bridgewater, he got tripped, okay? I mean, Dante Fowler trips him. So as he goes down, you know, he's starting to go down. That's where you have to lay off. And Harris chose not to, and certainly it cost him as he got ejected. And, you know, if we lose last night, this may be a bigger play, Mike, in right. the whole scope of things. But because you win the game, it's one of the dumb plays and dumb penalties that you'll talk about in film study, and you'll go, all right, don't do that again. Don't attempt to do that again.
Right.
But the quarterback's always going to be protected. And so for me, I didn't have a problem with this. I didn't necessarily think it was headhunting. I do think he was trying to just come in and finish up, you know, the tackle, mm-hmm. because he was like, again, tripped up. Bridgewater's scrambling at that moment where he's tripped. Either way.
I mean, you could. I mean, like, I know what guys are going to say is I always say when the Falcons get victimized, and I think it's not fair. It's not the Matrix. I get it. You can't stop in midair. But, I mean, this was one where he clearly posed no threat as a runner at that point. So you can, if you want to put two hands on him and literally, you know, like fall on him, that's one thing. But to sit there and slam your helmet into the side of the guy's back and head like that, that's stupid.
So that was a penalty that a lot of people are talking about. Bridgewater, by the way, didn't look comfortable in the pocket all night. The blitzes got to him.
No. And by the way, and if we're going to lose, you and I, how many times you and I said this, especially blitz. In 17, yeah. 18, if we're going to lose, let's go down swinging. I'll take the heat. You know, I know we got a young secondary and you're going to expose those guys, but let's at least try to create something. Now, you know, Isaiah Oliver got there on a corner blitz, one of the plays.
Well, the thing, too, I think you're doing now is you're giving opponents, whether it's, you know, Denver or in 3 weeks it's the Saints, different looks defensively. Drew Brees, how we're coming at you. We may come up the middle. We may come off the edge. Now you've got to prepare for all of that. And it's always been perplexing to me that when DQ was in charge that we didn't do more of this. We did a little. But we didn't do enough of it, in my opinion. And I like the way that Jeff Ulbrich and Raheem Morris are doing this. Let's go. You know what?
Right.
Mike, if they throw a ball down the field and our guy gets beat and we had people in the quarterback's face, you just tip your cap. But I hate the fact that we never have anybody in his face and he throws the ball down the field and they make a play. You know? So last night, unfortunately, Calvin Ridley leaves the game, guys. The x-rays were negative, okay, at the stadium, but he's going to get an MRI. This is a foot injury. We don't know the extent of it because, again, that information hasn't been released. But, Mike, just me thinking about this, and Bo and I were talking about this today in regards to Calvin Ridley. If you set him, okay, and we don't know the severity, he may be able to play. But let's just say you want to rest him. You sit him against Denver next Sunday, which is, you know, your next game. Then you got the bye. You don't play again until November 22nd, which is the Saints. That's like 20 days off for right. Calvin Ridley if it needed to happen that way. Now, we don't know. But the x-rays, again, were negative, so that's good news last night. But the MRI may be, you know, maybe ligaments or something that's going on in there. Who knows? But I was just thinking out loud about it and saying, you know what, if you want to rest him, you can, and I think it may not hurt you with the Broncos up and then the bye.
Right, and I know that if you lost another game down the road, you'd say, look, you know, let's not risk it. But there's a chance, as we said. I mean, you really – that's why the – you know, I wasn't – how many times have you and I had this conversation? I wasn't going to go down this road. But this is why the Cowboys, all the games we've screwed up, and most recently now on – we'll get off of Dan Quinn's resume. We'll get on to Raheem's. The Lions game, you literally could put a little run together with all the talent you got on the offensive side and the defense, you know, just scraping by and get to 9 wins. It's not implausible. But, I mean, I don't want to risk, you know, I don't want to have, you know, Calvin Ridley coming back to camp next year and he's still gimpy and he's not 100% over further exacerbating that injury. So, yeah, you're right. I'd be curious to see how they manage it.
Yeah. Last night, who was it? Russ Gage? I mean, there's a couple of receivers, Mike. First of all, Julio was great last night, but that's expected, right? I mean, we always mm-hmm. get excited. Julio should have 9, 10, 12 balls a game. He should have a $130 or $150 a game. That's just what I see. You know, he should be that. But the other guys, once Calvin Ridley went out, really stepped their game up, and that's been a big part of this. You know, when Matt trusts you and throws the ball to you, you got to catch it. If it's catchable, you got to catch it. Last night, Hayden Hurst caught one that was behind him on the ground. You got to catch it. You know?
And that's the thing, you know, Matt, and again, as we said, it's I'm not going to debate with guys anymore about this. They're the highest paid guys. They're expected to do more. I don't expect bums. I don't expect first round busters to do anything, but I expect the highest paid guys to do stuff. So last night, Matt and Julio right down the field, as I said, great. Here we're going to be great statistical nights for all the stat freaks out there. But when they get to the red zone, Matt misses, ironically, a wide open Calvin Ridley, trying to force it into Julio, wasn't there. And then there was a play that was kind of reminiscent of the Eagles play in the NFC playoffs, you know, when he's in the corner of the end zone. So Matt and Julio still, they couldn't get it going in the red zone. It's just, it's one of those things. If we could ever unlock that mystery. Look, I know they've combined for like 60-some-odd touchdowns together, but the red zone thing still drives me nuts between Matt and Julio.
Well, and Mike, part of it, though, is, like you just said, I do think over the years Matt has heard us say, you got to get it to Julio, and he tries to force it sometimes when he doesn't need to. I would have preferred him to throw the ball to Calvin and take that touchdown than us
complaining
about
it. Ridley was wide open.
Yeah, but then us complaining about him not throwing the ball to Julio. If it's not there, don't throw it. But if it's there and he's one-on-one, I'll take my chances with Julio against anybody any day of the week. And I think those are the situations where we've seen him not throw the ball, not in triple coverage, not where three guys are converging on Julio. I don't want to see that. And sometimes I think Matt has done that in that, you know, that desperate moment where, I'm going to get it to Julio. Don't do that.
Hey, Dirk, real quick, how about just like a giant like cluster formation rub route where everybody's like confused and Julio can maybe bust one out there in the corner of the end zone? It's just one of those mysteries. We need more in the red zone. Hey, we got to win, though, brother, and it beats a sharp stick in the eyeball.
Man, I'm telling you. And it's Friday! Hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home 2020 as well. Hey, man, we got a lot more to get to, including the Chargers shut down their facility. Never stops. And Cam Newton says it's unacceptable where he's at. What is he talking about? It's coming up.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.